Is your child struggling with a specific subject or need help with homework? Are they asking questions that you're not sure you can fully answer? IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL is designed. This program will improve your kids' grades. Studies done in almost every state in the country. The kids who had IXL are consistently doing better. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid no matter the age or personality. And it doesn't have to eat up all your time. One subscription gets you everything for all the kids in your home, pre-K to 12th grade. So don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/audio. Visit IXL.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome to Unhappy Hour, the show where we bitch about all the things we love to hate every single week. I'm your host, Matt Bellassai. We are back after our break. We've had a beautiful, gorgeous holiday break, and I am here back in the stud with my producer, Barry Finkel. Hi, Barry.
Hey, Matt. You notice anything different about me?
No.
Well, you should, because it's a new year. It's a new me. You know, 2019, 2019 me.
Shut the fuck up, Barry. You got it. I'm sick of your goddamn shit.
You know what? I invite Every you single over year, to my
we
family's
do this dumbass
house.
Stuff. I'm done with this bullshit. Today on the pod, we'll be diving deep into this kind of disgusting behavior. Yes, it is a new year. We're in 2019, but guess what, bitch? You're still the same piece of shit you were a fucking 2 days ago, bitch. So yes, we will get into the worst kinds of New Year's resolutions and New Year's resolution behavior right after Worst Things First, the segment where we talk about the worst news of the week, as always. And finally, we are starting off the year with such an exciting guest. We have got William Jackson Harper in the studio for an interview and a game. You know William as an actor and playwright. And if you're like, wow, I definitely know this name. Why do I know this name? It's because he's freaking Chidi from The Good Place, who's super hot. We've got all of that and more on today's exciting first ep of 2019. Let's get into it. Let's do it. Let's start this shit. Get on with the show. All right, worst things first. The worst news of the week. First, a woman in Wisconsin woke up at 5 a.m. on New Year's Day, and she sees her dog, who is a 130-pound South African Mastiff.
Love Mastiffs.
Named Benton, sleeping softly in his bed. For some reason, he sleeps in a twin-size bed that they keep in their living room.
Remember how big he was? That's why he has his own twin-size bed.
And I guess it was cheaper than buying a dog bed.
Please tell your mom this. I hope your mom listens to this episode, that maybe you can get a larger than a twin-size bed at your house.
I know. I have to sleep in a twin bed when I go home to Chicago.
Much like this Mastiff.
So this Mastiff, Benton, was sleeping in his bed. This woman wakes up, sees him sleeping in his bed next to a whole grown-ass man. And at first she's like, wait, is this my son visiting me from out of town unexpectedly? Nope. Then she asks a guest of hers who had stayed the night if she knew this person. And then she was like, nope. So there's just a strange man sleeping with her dog in her dog's bed.
That's the kind of burglar I want to be.
Yeah.
Breaking and entering and snuggling.
I love this because the story that I'm quoting from just says, so both the women grabbed a knife from the kitchen and called 911 because a whole ass fucking strange ass man was sleeping in her dog's bed out cold. He didn't even wake up when she took the dog out. She was like, Benton. get out of bed. And the man didn't even stir. Eventually, they called 911. The guy woke up. He asked for his glasses. And when he put on his glasses, he looked around and said, "Oh, yeah, this is not my house."
Who did he think the dog was?
I don't know.
His child?
I guess. Turns out, he got to be straight. Okay. Maybe it wasn't his wife. Maybe it was his hairy husband.
Could have been.
Well, no, it turns out it was a 21-year-old guy who lived with his mom two doors down and just got the house wrong, I guess, because he was wasted on New Year's Eve. I guess the woman who owned the house said her and her, like, girlfriend came home. They watched Grey's Anatomy until 1:30, went to bed. She woke up at 5, found this guy who had somehow gotten into their house, presumably through, like, an unlocked patio door. And he was like, "I don't know how I got here." The best part is, well, the woman, she didn't press charges. She was like, "Whatever, it happens to all of us." But the best part is she was like, "I got this son of a bitch, Benton, 3 years ago to protect me, and he didn't make any noise. He just let him get into bed." And that's why I respect Benton, because he knows when a 21-year-old man wants to get into your bed, you let him. Gay icon Benton the dog. Next! A man in Des Moines, Iowa.
Des Moines.
That's how you say it. Moines. Was arrested on New Year's Day after allegedly attacking a convenience store clerk with a banana. The best weapon that you can use in a convenience store is what? Potassium.
A banana.
Around 3 a.m. on the morning of January 1st, a store clerk stepped in because there was a domestic disturbance occurring between this man and someone else. The news story doesn't elaborate. And then the man turned on the clerk and started chasing him around with a banana, hurling merchandise at him.
Oh, God.
And then he was eventually arrested and charged because he allegedly caused more than $1,000 in damage.
Damn.
That's like the entire convenience store. Next! Two identical twin sisters from Australia who claim to be the world's most identical twins, which is not a real thing.
That can't be a thing. Nope. Yeah.
Basically, they're both currently sharing a boyfriend and they plan to marry him one day. But on a recent Australian morning show program, they announced that their biggest goal is to get impregnated by him at the same time.
Please play this scene out for us.
So I don't know if their goal is to quite get literally impregnated at the same time or if it's just to become pregnant.
Right.
At the same
like an
time.
Hour after one another.
Right. Right. And then if they succeed, their children would be both half siblings and cousins.
This seems like an unnecessary new familial situation.
Would they have like do twins have the same DNA?
Right. I think so.
So does that mean the kids would have the same DNA? I guess they wouldn't be. But would they like be twins? No.
Well, it's also not a guarantee that they'll have twins. Oh, I see what you mean. No, they wouldn't be twins. Would they?
Well, I guess not, because it would be two separate eggs.
Wombs, yeah.
This has been Science with Matt. I guess first, though, they have to get through the hurdle of getting married, which is a problem because Australia does not allow polygamy, which this would be. Moving on. A primatologist from Dartmouth was conducting field work in the highlands of Ethiopia. What a beginning.
Yeah, I don't know where this is going.
When he noticed that geladas, which is a type of baboon and not an Italian ice cream.
Thank you.
Had been letting Ethiopian wolves wander right into the middle of their herds. And rather than eating the delicious baby geladas, the wolves used the protection of the monkeys to hunt rodents. Are you with me?
Barely, but I'm hanging on.
Okay, so there's monkeys.
Got it.
In Ethiopia.
Yep.
And they're letting wolves come that would normally eat them.
Yeah.
Come into their herd.
Mm-hmm.
And letting them hunt in exchange for not eating them. Being around the monkeys lets the wolves hunt the rats easier because they can like sneak up on a rat easier.
That's the part I didn't understand. Thank you.
Yeah. And basically the primatologists are like, this was like how primates started domesticating
dogs. Yeah.
Or This is how the monkeys start to take over, is what I'm getting and why I'm including this story. This is some fucked up Planet of the Apes shit. These wolves and monkeys are forming alliances. And this fucking primatologist is letting it happen. He is watching it with his fucking science boner, writing it down in his fucking notebook while these monkeys are plotting his murder. First step, they're friends and everyone's eating mice together. And next stop, these monkeys are riding wolves right into your fucking house with a gun.
Sign me up.
And finally, while we were away, RIP to Eddie the sea otter. Did you see this?
No.
Local hero, national hero, really. International, global, oh universal hero. Eddie the sea otter. He was a 20-year-old sea otter from the Oregon Zoo, best known for slam dunking and masturbating. According to a press release, at nearly 21, Eddie was considered one of the oldest and most talented sea otters on the planet. A few years ago, they taught him how to slam dunk basketball as therapy for his arthritic elbow joints.
Okay.
But it turns out they just enabled his dexterity even further so he could perform amazing feats of autofellatio. There's a video, you could look this up, of Eddie the sea otter just deep-throating his own dick.
Oh my God!
When I first saw, I saw a screenshot of this headline all over Twitter, and it makes it sound like he's just jerking it.
Right, yeah.
But then I clicked on the story, and there's a video of him just, like, fully throat-banging himself.
Oh my God.
Like, he goes in.
No! This really is worst things first. No. R.I.P. Sweet Baby Angel.
Yeah, the zoo has a bunch of other otters, but I guess a spokesperson confirmed after a video of him surfaced, the sea otter, not the spokesperson. Yes, that was Eddie who displayed so much confidence in front of zoo guests.
Could you imagine?
I mean, yeah, if you could do that, show it off. So rest in peace, the legend, the icon, Eddie the sea otter. May you suck your own dick in heaven, in sea otter heaven, floating down the river of eternity in the arms of the angels. And that's it for Worst Things First. Next, my New Year's resolution is to burn all of your New Year's resolutions to the ground in this week's deep dive. Deep dive, deep dive, deep dive, deep dive, deep dive. Deep dive, deep dive, deep dive, deep dive, deep dive. All right, well, it's January 2019, which means it is New Year, New Me season. But before we get to complaining this week, let's chat resolutions. Barry, are you a resolutions person?
Not really.
Do you have any resolutions this year?
I don't know. I want to, like, be more active.
Wow, so specific.
And, like, also, my therapist told me if I'm trying to get off antidepressants, I should probably meditate. So I started doing that. It's been 2 days, so going strong.
Do you use an app?
There's two that I'm trying out, but I need to remember, please remind me 7 days from now or else I get charged $60, and I don't want that.
For the year?
Calm, yeah, Calm.
I have Calm.
Oh, okay. And then Insight Timer. Anyway, I don't know. I'm not really a resolution person, but I do like to take the time to think, like, what made me really happy in the year before and how can I make this year better?
That's nice, I guess.
Yeah.
Glad I asked you.
Right? I don't know what you want from me.
I don't know. I guess I put you on the spot. I mean, every year I make like 50 resolutions that range from like super specific to super general. Like sometimes I'm like, oh, I'll read 60 books this year, which I read like 40 something books last year.
Hey, that's a lot of books.
I'm a well-read bitch.
I'm pretty sure I said Everyone to my thinks... dad that you're the most well-read person I know.
Your dad is?
No, that you are. I said that to my dad.
Probably, because all of your other friends are idiots.
Yeah.
But I'm a boy genius. No, I like to read. I feel like I take a lot of, like, pride in how much I read, but I can't brag about it because then it's like, I'm smarter
than
you.
It's like what's happening right now where you call yourself a boy genius for reading 40 books.
Basically. So my goals range from like super specific, like read 60 books to the super general, like Kylie Jenner, this year is about realizing stuff and things.
It's my favorite.
That's the best resolution
it
of all
really
time.
Is.
Just realizing stuff. And realizing things. And like, she was right.
Yeah.
So this year I'm trying to like strike a balance between the general and the specific. My resolutions, I mean, there are many, but among that, I do want to try to take more pictures.
Okay.
I feel like I never take out my phone.
Yeah. Yet you're always on your phone.
I know. But it's because I'm like, every time I'm in a picture, I'm like, I hate myself.
No, Matt. You're beautiful.
So I do, because I do think this is actually the first part of this deep dive is earnest, as if you can't tell. But no, I feel like when I started making videos and I started editing them myself, it started out me being vain and being like, I only trust my face and my hands. Mm-hmm. I don't want someone else to be editing. Like, I can choose the best angles and looks. But the more I started being on camera, the more I was like, oh, I don't, like, hate the way that I look.
That's great.
So I do think there is a kind of, like, reverse psychology, like, force myself on myself.
Just like sexually. Eddie.
Yeah. Just like Eddie.
The hotter.
Sadly, I still have all of my ribs, so I can't reach. What else? Take more pictures. I'm trying to be more of a social person. And like, if I have the option to go out, so if I'm invited somewhere, I'm going to try to not make up an excuse why
I'm gonna
I can't
abuse
go.
The hell out of this.
This is not a free pass for anybody to take advantage of that. I'm just saying, in general, I am going to try to leave my apartment more. And then I guess, like, trying to be more positive, which is where this is going, I guess. I realize that is potentially scary to listeners of Unhappy Hour because it's like,
uh-oh. Brand is just shattered.
Am I doing a 180? Am I coming out of 2018 and it's suddenly I'm going to be like a nice person?
What is this, Happy Hour?
No. I'm trying to be less judgmental, like immediately judgmental.
Let people earn the judgment.
Right, right. Like, just absorb everything that people say without... Because I do hate when I talk to either strangers or friends or family, and, like, they'll say something to me and immediately be like, you're going to talk about this, like, on a podcast or something. Where I'm like, I don't want you to think, like, I'm just immediately judging you.
Yeah.
I want you to think that, like, I'm stewing about it and that I might eventually judge you.
I also love that you started by saying, this year I'm going to be positive because I hate when people... But hey, baby steps, we're getting there.
I think I'm trying to emphasize the philosophy behind Unhappy Hour more, which I've tried to articulate before, but... When we talk about, like, being complaining and, like, negativity on Unhappy Hour, it's always like, no, I don't hate stuff just to be a dick about it. I hate stuff in order to be a positive person. I'm trying to be more positive and more supportive of people, like, when people I know or people I don't know but follow and, like, good stuff happens to them, not be immediately jealous. But, like, celebrate them. Be a cheerleader for other people.
Hey, that's great.
Except for you. Shut up. So, this was a rare, positive, earnest start to a deep dive, but this is Unhappy Hour, and we can't be too positive, so let's talk about some of the shit that I hate about resolution season. First up, people who shame people who show up to the gym in the first couple of weeks of January, fuck yourselves. Fuck you. I hate this genre of, like, people being just complete assholes. It's like, oh, here comes the New Year, New Me crowd working on themselves on the treadmill. Fuck them, right? Just fuck everybody who wants to be a better person, right?
They're doing the same exact thing that you are, just, like, at a different time.
Yeah, like, who... What did you come out of the womb with abs? Chad? No.
That would be a scary baby.
You started somewhere, you dumb fuck. That's, like, all of the, like... There are some paintings where Jesus has, like, an 8-pack.
just washboard ass.
Fully an infant.
That's how Mary did her laundry.
Yeah. When you're born in a barn, you have to make do. You make your baby do sit-ups until you can wash your shitty sheet underwear on him. Next! Here's one where I'll just shit on anybody whose resolution is this. Anybody whose resolution is to become YouTube famous. First of all,
damn it, that was mine.
That is like the number one goal for everybody under the age of like 25. Don't. First of all, I don't need the goddamn competition. Second of all, it's not healthy. Next, people who try to change too much. It's like, okay, listen, girl, we all know you woke up on January 1st in a pile of garbage or like in a dog's bed. Don't quit stuff cold turkey either. You know where cold turkey comes from?
The phrase? No, I don't.
It's because when addicts are deprived of whatever they're addicted to, they get goosebumps and their skin looks like when you pluck a turkey out of the refrigerator.
Huh.
That's literally where it comes from. I didn't just make that up. Wow. Wikipedia did earlier.
Fascinating.
And you know what? I didn't even give them any money, even though they beg for it.
They beg, and I never do. And I don't know
why
I don't.
In large font. But yeah, people, it's like, don't... You want to quit coffee? Don't fucking cold turkey quitting coffee, and then you come into the office acting like a raging asshole.
I did do that, but to be fair, it was before New Year's.
Unless your heart is on like the verge of exploding because of the amount of caffeine you consume, don't fucking go cold turkey and then be an asshole to everybody.
Yeah.
That's my biggest complaint about resolutions. It's like, don't make it about me, okay? You agreed to be a better person, not me, bitch. I'm going to continue living my life of depravity. You keep your self-improvement to your goddamn self. Except for me. I will force everybody to be witness to my ascension to sainthood.
What I'm thinking... podcast is.
And finally, people who just like their resolution is to get a hobby. What? What does that mean? Also, what are hobbies? I don't have an explanation of that.
Watching TV is our hobby.
I would agree. I think that is a hobby. But I don't understand like any hobby that's not serial killer behavior. Nobody has ever said like, here's my hobby. And I haven't been like, oh, so you murder people for a living? Like, what are name a hobby? Like, well, woodworking. That's not a hobby.
I mean,
you're training to kill someone.
What?
Well, name a hobby. Name a hobby!
Oh my god, collecting clocks.
That's not a hobby.
It's your dad's hobby.
Yeah, and he's a serial killer. Every 15 minutes in my childhood home is just like an orchestra. Bings and bongs. So this 2019, don't fuck it up by making dumbass resolutions. Be specific, bitch. Pick your goals, bitch. Take it 1 month at a time, bitch. Don't fucking judge people for trying to be better with their lives just because you're a piece of shit, bitch. That's it for this week's deep dive. Next, we're talking to William Jackson Harper right after this. Today's episode is brought to you by Fleur. Do you know what's in the perfume you wear every day? Well, Fleur makes stunning, non-toxic perfumes, and it lists all their ingredients online, so you get a good scent made with clean ingredients. For a luxurious perfume that's all about good, clean fun, try PHLUR, Fleur. Get to know each of Fleur's scents with pictures, words, and even playlists on their site. Then try them on your own skin and see how it works for you. Once you get your scent of choice, I bet you'll be like, I gotta smell like this all the time. Well, hey, they just introduced body wash and body lotion in the same scents, so you can make that dream a reality. Plus, all of their products are gender free, which just makes sense. Scent, get it? Cool. I want to bring good smelling energy into 2019, which is why I love the Hanami scent family. It's their most minimalist scent. It's aquatic, floral, warm, and inspired by cherry blossoms. It's a splash of anytime I'd like. You can get a splash of by going to Fleur.com today and using promo code UNHAPPY to get 20% off your first custom Fleur sample set. Here's how it works. You pick 3 cents to try, and then you get credit towards a full-size bottle of your favorite. That's promo code UNHAPPY at Fleur.com to get your first 3 Fleur fragrance samples at 20% off. PHLUR.com. My guest complainer today is William Jackson Harper. William is a playwright and an actor, both on stage and on screen, specifically on screens that carry High Maintenance and the film Patterson, and, oh yeah, The Good Place, because he plays Chidi, of course. Please welcome William Jackson Harper.
Hey.
We like to get our complaining juices flowing by asking everybody, what is one thing you hate that everybody else loves?
Okay, thought about this. I love songs.
Yeah.
I fucking hate.
Is there a particular artist's love songs?
No. Like pretty much
every love song.
You know, it is like the ones that I kind of have learned to tolerate now are the ones that I feel have sort of like, you know, Stockholm syndromed me a little bit, where I'm just sort of like, this sucks so much that I'm like now like just a thoroughly on this song's side.
Elaborate. So what about love songs is it?
You know, it's just too earnest. It's like too many feelings, too many just like, oh, baby, I love you.
Right.
Oh, the curves of your body.
Love is nuanced. You
yeah.
Just like boil it down to
it's
a song.
Like, no, it's like just show me. Don't tell me. Don't sing it at me.
Right.
You know, let's sit on the couch and binge a show. Let's not fucking talk about it.
How do you express your feelings?
Oh, I don't.
You just keep it bottled
up.
Yeah,
I just keep it all. Yeah, you know, I just wait until I'm just like sitting at home with my dog and I just like let him have it, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Just like say all the nice things, say all the mean things, and when it comes to people, I just kind of keep my mouth shut when I can.
Yeah, when you say let him have it, yeah, you mean emotionally.
Emotionally! Yeah, I'm like, oh God.
You don't take your anger out on
No.
Got it.
No.
Okay. I'm glad we got that cleared up.
Yeah.
Let's talk about The Good Place. I'll admit I'm behind on this season, and it's a very spoiler-heavy show. But I am, of course, familiar with one particular scene that has become sort of infamous.
Yeah.
You might know the scene I'm talking about.
I think I might, yeah.
The Good Place writers have talked about, like, using the actor's talents. Like, Manny Jacinto, he's a breakdancer in real life, and they wrote that into the show. When did they find out that you are secretly super buff?
I don't know. It was like written in, like in the first season.
Uh huh.
And I was like, oh, that's a lie. and so like honestly, when I read that episode, I was like, oh, fuck. It would feel like a lot of dudes have that same thought whenever they read the shirtless scene coming up. They're like, God damn it. Like, and so yeah, I don't know where that came from. I mean, I work out just like as a dude
sure.
who works out, but I mean like I'm certainly not, I never thought of myself as like that that being my like thing.
Right. The scene obviously is shirtless Chidi. That has become a thing. You've been described as swole, which is a term that apparently you are not. You're confused by. I'm confused by also.
Yeah, I first heard that in high school, and I'm surprised that it's like made it this long. You know,
yeah.
As a matter of fact, people used to say swole up. It's like,
sure.
Oh man, that dude's all swole up, and it was like. You know, everyone just laughed at it whenever someone did say it. And then somehow 20 years later it's caught on.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I'm wildly uncomfortable with that term. It just seems like it just implies that something's deeply wrong with me.
Yeah. It doesn't sound like you're describing like a normally shaped human being.
No, no. It sounds like someone that caught a disease that he needs a shot for, like several shots.
Obviously, there was like a whole lot of write-ups about it. A few quotes, a few choice quotes that I'll read to your face.
Okay.
This was from Vulture. He has achieved a level of swoleness that in philosophy circles, you could describe as transcending the classical problem of fitness. I don't even really understand what that
Neither
means.
Neither do I. What is... Transcending the classical problem of fitness?
They were getting into, you know, Chidi-esque philosophizing that doesn't make any sense at all.
You know, I actually have a professor friend who is very swole.
Yeah?
Super swole. I mean, I remember, like, we were hanging out. And I will not name him because he's asked me not to do that. But he is one of those dudes that anytime anyone sees him with his shirt off, they audibly gasp.
Yeah.
As I did. I was just like, he took his shirt off and, like, you know, came outside. We were all, like, sitting out by this lake. And I was like, oh, come on. You know, it's just like, stop. You're kidding.
That's what, whenever I'm watching some trashy show like The Bachelor or something, and there, you know, there's like 25 swole dudes, and one of them is like, I'm a professor. I'm like, no, you're not. A professor of what?
Yes, of kinesiology, of your yeah. own body.
But, hey, I mean, more power to them. You don't have to name this person, but you can give me, like, their Instagram handle after
okay,
the show.
Yeah.
Then
yeah.
I'll judge for myself.
Yeah, you'll just, like, secretly stalk and troll them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I guess for people who might not watch The Good Place, why don't you, like, let's take a step back and just, like, who is Chidi? Give us the rundown.
Yeah. Chidi is a professor of ethics and moral philosophy who died while trying to pick a bar to go to with his buddy. Mm-hmm. He was killed by an air conditioner falling on his head. And he's this wildly indecisive, morally obsessed, sweater vest wearing nerd who is tasked with trying to rehabilitate Eleanor Shellstrop, mm-hmm. who's played by Kristen Bell, and try to help her earn her place in the afterlife.
Spoiler for people who haven't seen the first season, but you spend the first season like thinking Chidi is this great person because he has all of these morals, and by the end of it you realize, like, oh, actually he has no morals because he can't decide on shit, and
yeah.
it just constantly oscillates between
yeah.
everything, which I identify with.
Yeah.
How has your relationship with Chidi changed?
I feel like I've, in my real life, just seeing how annoying being that indecisive can be.
Yeah.
And, like, having to play it.
Uh-huh.
I've like, in my life, I've just been, like, a little bit more like, nope, let's just make a decision. I don't need the facts. I don't need to know anything. I'm doing this now.
Yeah.
Just because it's just easier.
Were you an indecisive person before?
Oh, fuck yeah. Absolutely.
I think my thing is, like, I'm a people pleaser. So, like,
yeah,
whatever you want, I'll do it. And, like,
yeah.
people don't like that.
No.
You know, like, people want decisions.
Yeah, make a choice. I mean, and it's like my girlfriend and I, we both just go back and forth, like, you know, it takes us forever just to get out of the house, you know?
Oh, yeah. Just, so where do you want to eat? I don't care.
Oh, God. No where
yeah.
do you want to eat? Like sometimes we'll be sharing, like, we're such people pleasers that we'll be, like, sharing a bottle of water and passing it back and forth, but no one will take the last last sip. So it's just, like, this saliva at the bottom that
yeah.
no is, like, it, but it's, like, an act of charity to give this... To
right.
give each other this spit, this leftover.
I feel that way so much. Even with, like, family, I'm like, we're doing is guessing at what the other person is thinking so much that we're, like, not, we're just, like, both ruining it for one another.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Like,
now it's stressful. It's like, now it's like, okay, so, like, now, so the game is I'm supposed to anticipate your needs too, right? Like, that's the game. That's the game we're playing. That's what
right.
we're supposed to do. And if I don't do it, I'll lose.
Right.
And then you're going to be mad at me. And I don't want you to be mad at me because that's not fun for you, you know? So
it's yeah. great. It's great. Life is so much fun.
Oh, yeah.
And humanity, being a person and trying to relate to someone else is just, like, the best there is.
Yeah.
I imagine that, like, working with the cast of The Good Place is very insane in its own way.
Mm.
Everybody is there. I mean, there's amazing actors. Ted Danson is there. That's a great way of putting it.
Yeah, he's hanging out.
Ted Danson's also
around.
There. What is the worst part of hanging out with a group of people like that? You have to complain about it.
Oh, God. All right. If I have to complain about a worst part, you know, I mean, I have moments where I'm like, you know what? I'm an imposter.
Oh, yeah.
This is the one where this is the scene where they will all know it and they will all hate me from this point on. So, like, that that sort of gets the best of me sometimes. And I just like, I gotta go stand in the corner and pace for a little bit.
Do you still feel that way? Like three seasons in?
Fuck yeah, dude. I feel that every day of my life, you know? So yeah, that's like every now and again, like that gets really intense and heavy.
Yeah.
You know?
Did I read that you were thinking about quitting before you got The Good Place?
Yeah. Yeah.
Were you just like tapped out?
Yeah, you know, I mean, it was more that I was, like, starting to get bitter, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, I was, like, doing a lot of stage and stuff, and I was working. It's not that, you know, things weren't going well. It was just I couldn't, you know, I was like, I couldn't save. I couldn't, you know, plan for retirement.
Right.
You know, I couldn't afford to not live with, you know, three roommates, all great dudes.
Sure.
But I just couldn't have, I mean, I was like, I can't do this at 50.
Right.
They're going to leave me, you know? Like, you know, yeah. They'll move on with their life and I can't do that forever. So that was like, I was like, I gotta figure out something else for my life to be about. And then
Yeah,
and then I went in and auditioned for this and it happened, which was like nick of time.
Right.
Yeah.
It does seem like it works out that way, where like when you finally are like, well, whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then finally when you sort of like let that part go.
Yeah. Well, I think you're just, you know, like probably just less scared about giving people what they want and showing people what they want to see. And it's just more like, I just want to be free and be in the room and have fun. And then, you know, people actually see who you are, and then, you know, maybe if you're not a trash bag, they invite you to work with them.
Yeah, you know? That is an important part.
Yeah.
Don't be a trash bag.
Don't be a trash bag.
But it's worked out, seemingly. You've made it a few years in.
Yeah, yeah. Still got the job.
Although I guess that imposter syndrome is still there.
Yeah. I think everybody has it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, do you have it? Do you ever?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. All right.
That's basically all this podcast is about, is me being like, I'm unworthy. No, I've talked before about, like, you know, there's been things where I've gotten to like go and talk to people on red carpets, and it's just like, what is always strikes me about those situations is that you can just feel how uncomfortable everybody is.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Even the most famous people, it's like they've done this 1,000 times, and you just know, like, everyone is here, everyone is like just going through the motions of what they have to go through.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
No, like, everyone, it's weird. It's a weird thing.
It is weird. Like, I've had to do, like, not a ton of those things, but every now and again I've had to do them. And I always, like, get super nervous and just, like, forget what I'm saying in the middle of saying it.
Uh-huh.
Or I, like, start an anecdote and then I'm like, you know what, I'm bored. They're probably bored, too. What was I talking about?
Right.
Oh, snap. And then, you know, and then I'm sweating and everything's over.
No, I definitely have that, too. Yeah. It's a great mind trick when your brain is like, you know what? We're nervous. Let's just forget what we were saying.
Oh, yeah.
And like, then, yeah.
I get the nervous sleeps sometimes. I get crazy nervous. And then all of a sudden, I'm just like incredibly tired.
Yeah. Yeah. It's your brain's way of being like, let's just. It's time,
like,
out.
Yeah, it's like you're gonna need this energy.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Man, the nervous nap is like my fave. That's my go-to.
Oh yeah,
that's my go-to salve for.
Oh yeah,
for everything.
Yeah, passing out in the audition room. Yeah.
It's great. It solves nothing, and you're
serves
more
no
nervous
purpose.
And tired when you wake up.
Yeah.
Speaking of auditions, great transition. Are there recollections of like horrible auditions that you've had? I usually ask, like, comedians what their worst, like, stand-up experience has been. So, but you've also been on stage.
Yeah.
So are there, like, particularly horrible stage moments, audience interactions?
You know, actually, I did try stand-up one time.
Uh-huh.
I will never, ever do that
what
shit
happened?
Again. It was just a quick 5 minutes,
uh-huh.
like a open mic,
right?
And it was, you know, I hear it's like you're supposed to bomb your first time. That's
sure,
just
yeah,
what happens. But I, you know, I'd written like, you know, like 3 jokes. I was like, let me just see if anyone laughs at all at them. And it's an open mic, so everyone's sort of like nervous and in their own head, and no one's laughing
right.
at anything. But there was this group of people in the corner of this room who weren't there for an open mic. And I told a joke about, oh, so, so, God.
You have to say it now.
I had just broken up with a long-term girlfriend, and I was really having a hard time being intimate with other people. And I made this joke about my penis not working, and these women in the corner, I thought they would find it funny or humanizing, but all I had was just dead silence and just one woman go, oh.
So it wasn't even bad. It was just like you left feeling bad about yourself.
Oh, yeah. Well, I was like thinking like this is, but I'm like, I'm not insulting you, it's me. It's
right.
Like, I don't want you to feel bad for me. I just want you to be like, ha ha, you impotence. You know, that's what I wanted, but I didn't want you to like, I didn't want to like make you feel bad or, you know, like or
right,
have you
right.
pitying me or something like that.
Yeah.
And that's the effect. And I was like, ah,
yeah.
Nuts.
I have tend towards a lot of self-deprecating humor, and yeah, on stage, you always can sense when someone's like, oh.
Yeah.
They probably needs a rewrite.
Yeah. Is yeah.
Or you just totally lean into it and you're like, I'm gonna leave here with you feeling as bad as I do.
Yeah, but you know, I wasn't savvy enough or confident enough. I just immediately got sleepy and sweaty and just was like,
hung up the mic and was
like, I gotta go home.
And that was it. That was all it took.
That was all it took.
And you were like, never again.
I don't need to do this. I don't think I have a beat on what's going on in people's hearts and minds.
Were you always like you wanted to be an actor, or was it like performer? Like what led to the hey, let's try this stand-up thing out?
Well, I mean, like I my mom made me do theater when I was in middle school because I was kind of shy. Mm-hmm. And so she was like, I, you know, want you to come out of your shell, and I was like, all right, well, I'll do this theater stuff for a little bit. And
yeah.
Then and I was thinking it was all like, you know, pumpkin pants and you know, like professing your love to somebody on a balcony. I was like, I don't want to do that corny shit.
Right.
And then I found out that I could do improv. I could, you know, do sort of zany farces and stuff like that. And I was like, oh, this is fun. This
yeah.
is great. And then it just kind of kept going. I just kind of, you know, I was like, this is the thing that I have. This is the thing that I'm kind of good at.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So have you always been more on the like comedy side than drama?
Yeah,
it's
sort of. I mean, I feel like the comedy thing is just sort of like being a comedic actor is just something that I find comes to me a little bit easier. And so it's always been like I like to try to find the most surprising thing within a text, and so it's like I think being a comedic actor just sort of like, you know, really depends on an actor trying to do that. And
right.
so that's yeah, it's always been sort of that's a fun puzzle for me to try to figure out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now you're an ethics professor on television.
Yeah.
So
yeah. Yeah.
We asked, so Darcy Carden was on the pod, and we asked her to describe what her bad place looks like.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like the phrasing of that because it sounds like I'm having her describe like her asshole, but what does your bad place look like? if you had to paint a picture.
Okay. It would be a lot of dudes listening to like rock from like the early aughts.
Sure.
And like laughing way too loud. Mm-hmm. At real average ass jokes, and
sure.
Then ordering a lot of Jaeger shots for everybody and slapping me on the back.
Right.
And being like, hey, bro, aren't you having a great time? I love you so much. And I'm like, no.
This sounds like a one moment that you had, a very specific memory that you're just recalling right now.
Yeah, it's just exhausting. It's an exhausting evening, you know, to try to keep the ball in the air. It's like, I can't keep up.
Uh-huh.
And that, and if like, you know, like maybe in that place, there's just like people are just serving like eggs.
Sure,
you know,
sure,
eggs
sure.
and quinoa.
Yeah.
And a lot of bees, you know, just like, well, not bees, wasps, like just
right,
wasps
right.
just like hanging out.
Yeah. On the flip side, then, what is your good place look like?
Good place is, probably like a sort of like an artisanal taco party.
Like, not just any taco party, an artisanal
like,
taco
yeah, like
party.
Real special tacos, you know, with like, you know, like duck tacos and like, mm-hmm. you know, just like those real fancy tacos. And then like, you know, just like a big oversized couch.
Sure.
And then like a bunch of tasty cocktails, but you never tip over. You can have three without it just like ending your night.
Uh-huh.
You know,
uh-huh.
A whole lot of like weirdo like backpack rap playing out of a speaker somewhere. You know.
Interesting.
Yeah.
That was an interesting addition.
I don't have a whole lot of imagination, I guess. This is just a great afternoon.
Yeah.
You know?
No, that's what a good place is supposed to be.
Yeah.
It's your ideal afternoon.
Yeah.
Shall we move into a bit of a game?
Yeah.
We call it Elaborate, where we pull some of the thoughts that you shared on Twitter and about things that you perhaps dislike, and you elaborate on them, hence Elaborate.
Okay.
It's not even things you hate. These are just interesting scenarios that I'm curious about. You tweeted about sitting in a restaurant with some kid ironically wearing a t-shirt with your birth year on it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. What a strange tweet to bring up, but it feels like a very specific moment in history.
Yeah, well, it's just that moment where you're like, oh, I'm a throwback. Like you just
have
that moment where it's just like, oh, that's
right.
That's like many years before you came to Earth.
This child is wearing like what he believes to be a piece of history.
Yeah.
And it's just like your life.
Like that's just my date of birth.
Yeah.
You know? Like I was here.
I find it so upsetting when people I follow on like Instagram or Twitter have their birth year in their handles and I have to see it be like, you know, 1999.
Yeah, yeah.
Or post 9/11 children don't count. I don't understand how that's even possible.
Don't like, when you say don't count. Like what do you
I don't register them in my mind. They don't count. Anyway, moving on. You wrote, I belong in the ocean as much as a giraffe belongs in a karaoke bar.
Oh.
Great. Great joke.
Man.
This wasn't intended to be a roast, but it is now, actually.
Oh, God. You know, it's like, I feel like, you know, I don't truly understand Twitter. I don't quite get it. And I
should have
weird things.
Yeah, I should have explained beforehand that your Twitter bio is the most uneventful Twitter feed in America, but we're going to try.
Oh, yeah. Because I'm trying to be like, you know, with the zeitgeist, and I'm just not able to do it effectively. And then hence I write things like that.
The essence there, though, is that you are not an ocean person.
Yes, right. I'm absolutely not an ocean person. It is to be feared and respected.
Sure.
Viewed from a safe distance.
Yeah.
And left alone.
And then this last tweet is just, I feel this, it's just real talk, screw the MTA, which is fair. It's fair.
Here's the thing. Like, I have a problem right now with the fact that a Metro card costs about as much as a monthly payment for a Hyundai Accent in like 95. You know, like that bothers me. You know, like the fact that it would have been like the car that I would have had in high school.
Yeah.
But it's just a train that doesn't work a lot, you know, and I would have had a brand new car. I mean, like for the cost of a brand new car in high school, I get a shitty train.
Yeah.
You know, and that's infuriating.
Yeah. Before we have you go, I will ask you one last thing, which is only for Barry. producer Barry, because you two both go to the same dog park. So I do want to officially ask about your dog, Chico, and what the worst part about being a dog owner is.
Oh, man. Honestly, okay. I mean, look, picking up turds is not a picnic. Like, no one likes that. But honestly, with Chico, he had a severe sort of separation anxiety thing.
Uh-huh.
And that was awful. It took some months to get through.
Right.
we basically would just have to like leave the house for like 5 seconds and come back.
Yeah.
And leave the house for 5 seconds and come back and it like 10 times and keep doubling the time until we could get up to like an hour. And then, you know, and you get up to 2 hours. And but he would just like scream and cry and, you know, and it was just that was truly terrible.
That's just now we're sad.
I'm sorry. It is hard though.
Like with a kid, it's like whatever. You'll grow up to hate me one day. Yep. So like I can leave you and be fine. Like, but a dog will always love you.
Yeah.
So it does make the separation harder.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we had just gotten him, and you know, I had to go out for work, and you know, he was just not having it, not into it.
It reminds me of when I was home in Chicago, my mom, we were leaving the house and we were outside and she said, oh, I forgot to tell the dog we'll be back. And she went back in the house so she could tell the dog we'll be back. See, and I was like, that seems like a bit much.
You know what's tough though? We were told we shouldn't do that. We were told that actually like sort of like any sort of contact right before you leave, the dog is like, oh, yay, you're showering me with attention. And then you leave. They're like, what? No, like, right. This is abrupt. Why are you leaving now? And so, like, we were told to, like, sort of not make eye contact for a little while and just leave. And the dog will just sort of be like, oh, yeah, no, they just, you know, they're not here anymore and that's okay.
Right.
You know?
Wow.
But
listen to that,
it's so
Debbie.
Tough. It's so tough. But it's so tough to do, you know, because they look you in the eye a lot.
Well, good. I'm glad. We almost ended on a sad note, but we ended on a vindictive note, which is that my mother is wrong. And that's how I like it. Where can people find you on the internet?
They can find me at William Jackson Harper on Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
And on Twitter at Dubjack Harper.
Got it.
Yeah.
And then maybe they'll even see you teaching Ted Danson how to floss.
They might see it.
Not for the best, but judge for yourself.
Yeah. You know, he's trying. He's learning. He's coming along, you know.
We can follow the journey.
Yeah.
All right. Well, William Jackson Harper, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
I'll see you next time.
All right.
We're almost there. We're almost at the end of the show. But first, our chasers. Chasers are the good stuff that helps all the bad stuff go down. Barry, let's start off with the TV we've been watching. What you been watching, girl?
I hated that.
What you been watching?
So I had a pretty ridiculous New Year's Eve. Not like going out crazy on the town ridiculous, but like Alex and I were just at his parents' house and sat with Putty in between us on the couch while we drank a whole bottle of champagne and watched Netflix's Dogs.
Heard of it.
Yeah, it was fine.
I heard it's sad.
Well, we only watched 2 episodes and I like tried to pick the 2 that wouldn't be sad.
Mm.
So we watched a Costa Rica shelter one, which kind of was sad and also didn't really have a story.
Uh-huh.
And then we watched one about an Italian man who's a fisherman and owns a family restaurant and his Labrador retriever. That episode was fire. Highly recommend that episode. It's just great. I love Ice. That's the dog's name. Just a great companion.
Ice.
Yeah, so that, and it's because he loves ice and snow and he rolls around in it. And it's just this like sweet Italian family in this tiny, tiny town of like 50 people. And his dog just comes with him on his fisherman's boat every day. And it's real sweet. So of all the episodes I've watched so far, only 2, probably won't watch any others. That episode was great. So I watched that, but you know, Schitt's Creek is coming back.
Mm-hmm.
So excited. And I watched the Christmas special, which you watched it too, right?
Yes.
Yeah. And that's what I've been doing. That's what I've been watching. What are you watching?
I am still watching Drag Race. I started rewatching it, so I'm binging all of that. I also watched Bird Box. Did you watch that?
No, and I never will. I'm not a scary movie person.
It's not scary.
Okay.
It's not.
You know me. I'm startled by everything around me, and I'm scared all the time.
I did not find it scary, although I only really paid attention to like the first half and then I was on my phone for the second half, but I still got it. It's not scary.
Okay.
It's also not like, I don't know, the greatest film in the world, but you'll get all the memes that people are chatting about.
Cool.
So that's what I've been watching, trying to watch more movies in 2019. What's your chaser this week?
My chaser this week is karaoke, because you and I went out with some of my friends from growing up when we were both home in the Chicagoland area for Christmas. And I feel like I finally get it. I like get how to karaoke. You were the wise one who said you either sing a song that you know you're going to like really perform, or you sing a song that everyone else is going to love to sing along with. I always thought that karaoke was just singing the songs you know all the words to. And that's why I was not good at it and didn't have fun with it. But now I feel like I get it. And it's so fun. And I really loved it. 2019, I want to go to more karaoke.
That is great to hear. We should go right now.
Okay, great. Another round of Puff the Magic Dragon? Because, yeah, I sang that.
I mean, yeah, I'm glad to hear that because, obviously, I love it. My chaser
yeah,
is...
what's your chaser?
About the same night, but it's your lovely parents.
Oh, my God.
They had me over.
You're just doing this for Leon.
And your mom, who I jokingly called a dead animal carcass on the podcast at one point.
She'll never forgive you.
There was one worst things first, where some mysterious hairy monster showed up on a beach somewhere. Turns out it was probably just like a severed whale part. But I made some joke about how like the beast did not respond to calls of Barry's mom. And I thought that was a safe, like, your mama joke to make. Turns out your dad ratted on me to your mom, who will never forgive me. So I went over for dinner, and that was brought up.
For Shabbat dinner.
So thanks to the Finkels for having me over and making delicious food and then taking me out, even though I had to pay for a very expensive Uber to get home. That's it. Thank you for listening to Unhappy Hour. So happy to be back. Head to Apple Podcasts or Spotify or Stitcher, wherever you get podcasts. Hit that subscribe button, then rate us, review us, but only if it's nice. Unhappy Hour is a production of Pineapple Street Media. It's produced by Barry Finkel, Claire Tai, and me, Matt Bellisai. Special thanks to Jenna Weiss-Berman and Max Linsky. Our editors are Dina Kleiner and Josh Gwynn. Music by Hansdale Sue. You can bother Barry at Finkelberry Pie. You can worship me on all the social medias at Matt Bellisai. And you can follow Unhappy Hour Pod on Twitter for all the latest podcast buzz. And that's it. That's everything. Thank you for listening. See you next week. Bye-bye. And I am telling you.
Damn.
I'm not gonna win. You're the best man I'll ever know.